Good morning, everyone, and happy Palm Sunday. Wherever you're listening to this, it's a beautiful day here in the UK. Fantastic Sunday morning. I hope that it's nice for you guys too. So obviously a little bit strange doing this service virtually. Palm Sunday is a time of great celebration, isn't it? Where we all come together and celebrate the coming Messiah, and we look forward to Easter. But I hope that this message and some of the other stuff we've been able to do on Facebook and stuff is an encouragement to you guys. It does provide me with an opportunity of preaching in different contexts. I've currently got zeal strapped to me at the moment, which is something that I've never attempted to speak like before. So hopefully she's going to stay asleep for the duration of this, and we can have a continued look at Luke 9. Now, this isn't a normal Palm Sunday sermon. I actually put up on our Facebook page just this morning a thought by Graham Ross called The Messiah We Want or The Messiah We Need, which is really good. Recommend you check this out. This is a bit from Luke 9, because we're going through Luke 9. This is towards the end of the chapter, and it's from verse 51, and it's the bit just before Jesus comes into Jerusalem. And it says this: "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him, because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, 'Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them?' But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village." Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your words. We pray that as we look at this together, that you would inspire us and change our hearts and bring us closer to you. I pray that we would, wherever we are this morning or whenever we listen to this, we will be able to draw close to you. We thank you that even if we can't be together physically as church, that we are the church because we have your Holy Spirit within us. I pray that we would know your presence close to us, guiding us, giving us strength at this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 51, as the time came for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And my first question to you is, where are you heading? Jesus has had this incredible ministry, 3 years on earth. He's been healing people, he's been releasing people from darkness, he's feeding the 5,000, all of the fantastic miracles that we read about in the Gospels. But as the time approached for him to come up to heaven, he resolutely sets out for Jerusalem. And there's a parallel in our lives. When we read Jerusalem in Scripture, certainly in this context, then we've got to not just think of a physical city. This isn't a call for us all to head out to Jerusalem, which is good because the flights aren't happening at the moment. But this is a call to head towards a spiritual Jerusalem. Jerusalem speaks of where God is king, speaks of God's kingdom. And so when we look towards the end of the Bible, we're talking about a new Jerusalem. And this represents not just a physical city, but it represents a spiritual place that we're all heading to. And my question is, where are you heading? We can do lots of good things in our life. We can visit lots of fun places. We can be involved in lots of excellent and noble pursuits. But there comes a time where I believe we need to resolutely set out for Jerusalem. There comes a time in our lives where we need to decide, is this Jesus worth following? And if he is, I want to resolutely set out to wherever he takes me. I want to resolutely set out to the kingdom of God. I want to resolutely set out for where God is king. Where are you heading? There's when Jesus is talking about a similar thing, he says that don't put your hand on the plow and then look back. Don't be a kind of half in, half out person. I used to have a friend, and I used to say that if they said yes, they meant maybe, and if they said maybe, they meant no. This kind of really flaky attitude that you could never quite trust if they said they were going to do something, whether or not they'd do it. And Jesus says, don't be like that. Don't be like that with me. You're either in or you're not. Are you resolutely setting out for Jerusalem? And with a world full of distraction and a life full of confusion and other things that we could be doing, then this is a challenge to myself as we approach Easter in this coming week. Am I going to resolutely set out for Jerusalem? Am I going to resolutely set out for where God is king? How can I make that my priority, make that my focus? How can I set my face to Jerusalem? Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And then he sent messengers on ahead who went into a Samaritan village. And many of you know the history with the Samaritans and the Israel. I mean, Samaritans, they were part of the original tribes of Israel when then the nation split, and as often happens over generations of racial tension and stuff, they don't like each other very much by the time Jesus comes on the scene. And when they hear he was going to Jerusalem, the capital of for the Jewish people, then the Samaritans are not happy about this, so they did not welcome him. When James and John, who you may remember were known as the sons of thunder, they saw this and they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven and destroy them? Which seems a touch of an overreaction. But as you're reading it, I mean, it does seem ridiculous, doesn't it? Like, these people don't welcome you into the village. Well, what we'll have to do is just call down fire from heaven and destroy them. That seems to make perfect sense. And you think, what are they doing? Have they not really learned anything? But I suppose for James and John, the sons of thunder, then they're fully with Jesus. They've fully committed their lives to him. They know they want to head to Jerusalem now. They've got a plan. They understand that something big's about to happen. They're thinking, right, let's get to Jerusalem. Let's kick out the Romans. Let's establish God's kingdom again. This is what we're doing. And then there are some people who don't buy into that vision. There's some people in the Samaritan village who don't like them, who don't accept them, who reject them and try and push them away. And you can kind of see for James and John that this very black and white mentality to their thinking of like, nah, if you're not with us, if you're not coming to Jerusalem, if you're not going to kick out the Romans in the way we want to kick them out, if you're not going to march the beat of our drum, then, to be honest, you might as well just get engulfed by fire. Jesus, shall we call down some fire from heaven and destroy them? Because that's what wants to happen. Now, I've never asked God to call down fire on anybody, I'm pleased to say. But there have been times where I've got very annoyed. And I've got annoyed if people haven't bought in to my vision. Or I've even got annoyed if I feel people are not buying into God's vision. And James and John, they're so passionate about what they're doing that they allow it to negatively influence the way that they treat others. Because actually, you can have the greatest cause in the world, but if it's causing you to love other people less, then you're doing it wrong. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. That is the mark of a true Christian. It really saddens me when people become Christians and then seems to become more judgmental than they were before. And it really saddens me because I think you've got the right answer, but you're living it out in the wrong way. Because you've got this kind of mentality of now I understand, now I'm following Jesus, then anyone who's not, I'm laying into them. I'm trying to call down fire from heaven to destroy them, maybe not physically, but verbally, or heaping judgment in. And actually, Jesus turns and rebukes them. And he and his disciples went to another village. Where are you heading? And how are you treating people who aren't heading in that direction? Because I feel that this passage shows us that as we head to Jerusalem with Jesus, as we buy into his vision to see God become king more and more on earth, as we buy into this vision to see God's kingdom established and justice and peace and righteousness and all the things that Jesus comes into earth to establish, as we buy into that vision, we don't want to get the right answers and treat other people the wrong way. That buying into the right vision doesn't mean we need to stop loving others. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. Where are you heading and how are you treating people who aren't heading in the same direction as you? Because for James and John, their mentality is, well, if you're not coming to Jerusalem with us, if you're not worshipping God in the same way as us, if you're not coming on this journey with us, you might as well have fire called down from heaven. Jesus, can we do it? And Jesus says no. Because Jesus understands that what he accomplishes in Jerusalem by his death and resurrection is for everyone. That the kingdom of Jesus is not going to be limited by where you worship or your style of worship or your style of belief. No, what Jesus accomplishes on the cross is for everyone. What he accomplishes at Jerusalem is for the Samaritans just as much as it is for the disciples. And as we set our face to Jerusalem, as we choose to follow Jesus, as we choose to follow God, as we choose to make his kingdom our priority, then that should be good news for everyone in our lives. That should be good news for your boss. That should be good news for your family. It should be good news for your friends. It should be good news for your co-workers, because the way you now act, the way you treat them, should be better than it was before. We shouldn't become more judgmental and more keen to call down fire on people. We should be more loving and more self-sacrificial in our generosity. We should be a better person to hang around with. We should be full of more light than we were before. Because for Jesus, he knows that what he accomplishes in Jerusalem is for everyone. And as we choose to resolutely set our face to Jerusalem, as we choose to follow Christ, in that, what happens in our lives should be for everyone. How are we treating people who don't agree with us? How are we treating people who don't want to come with us right now? How are we treating people who aren't on the same page? Are we loving them anyway? Are we showing them grace anyway? Are we showing them mercy anyway? Are we giving them the benefit of the doubt anyway? Are we treating them like God's children, even if we don't understand why they're not making the same decisions we are? So as we enter Holy Week and as we approach Easter, I'll ask again, where are you heading? Can you make that a priority this week to set your heart on Jerusalem, to set your face towards God's kingdom? Can we make this a priority this week to engage deeper with the story of Jesus? And as we do that, can we learn to treat others better, even if they don't agree, even if they're not on the same journey, even if they're not on the same page? As we live more like Jesus, I believe that should be good news for everybody, not just those who agree with us. Let's pray, shall we? Father, as we enter into a rather strange Holy Week, I pray that you would bind us together by the power of your Spirit. We would feel connected with each other and connected with you. I pray that we would choose to make you our focus and our priority, that we would set our face towards you, and that as we do that, we would become less judgmental and more loving. We would become less stingy and more generous, that we would become less aggressive and more peaceful. I ask that as we become more and more like you, that we would bring more and more of your kingdom into our homes, into our friendship groups, into our workplaces, into our lives. Be with us, we ask. Give us your peace and your joy and your hope this week. Amen. And just as we finish, I was just about to publish this actually, and then read an email from Faye, which has got a wonderful little kind of poetic thought that I'm just going to share with us at the end of this recording. Holding together, although we're apart, listening in to the Father's heart, that's church. Contacting each other on email and phone helps us to feel we are not alone, our church. Sharing our prayer needs and good news, there is no need for a building with pews, we are church. Knowing our Saviour is ever near, he's our assurance, no need to fear. It's his church. Bless you.